Good Day Health. In this hour, Dr. Ken Kronhaus visits with us from his office at Lake Cardiology, his clinic in Florida. We have a lot of tidbits. I guarantee you that if you stick around with us, you will find things that you didn't know before when it comes to your health and well-being. What value do all of these articles have in the various journals? For example, there's one from the CDC publication, Center for Disease Control, focusing on cancer and what causes cancer. So is this scientific? Is this to say that all people who have what's underscored in this case study are going to die of cancer?
Well, let's talk about what it is the CDC is bringing to our attention, because I think if you hear the details, you will be very eager to learn about this, and this will be part of your platform. Because while the rate of new cancer cases has decreased overall since the 1990s, Doug, you know that. We've been reporting that yearly.
Yep.
Increases in overweight and obesity-related cancers are slowing this progress. Being overweight or obese is associated with an increased risk of 13 types of cancer. The cancers linked to obesity include esophageal cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, rectal cancer, endometrium, gallbladder, gastric, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, thyroid cancer, and multiple myeloma. These obesity-related cancers, they account for 40% of all cancers diagnosed, and two-thirds of the population is either overweight or obese. You're overweight if your BMI is over 25. That's when you're overweight, and you're obese if your BMI is over 30. So this is huge, and it's a huge way to decrease cancer.
So when you see somebody come into your clinic, Lake Cardiology in Florida, who's really grossly overweight, what do you tell them?
I ask them how long they want to live. I mention if it's a male, I'll tell them I've never met an obese 90-year-old male, mm-hmm. which is a fact. I'm still waiting to meet that first one. And I talk to them about how long they can extend their life if they make an effort to try to lose some weight. And we talk about past failures. And I mentioned to them currently, you know, I lost 40 pounds in 2015. So I let them know in midlife it is possible. And I put myself out there.
40%. Listen to what Ken told you. 40% of cases related to obesity and being overweight, cancer caused by fat.
Exactly. And you think you don't have any control over preventing cancer? Well, you do.
Yeah, of course you do. Okay, let's spend a minute talking about the sponsor for this hour of Good Day Health, folks at Super Beats. I have actually pretty interesting new information here from the folks at Super Beats. When you think about energy, that's one of the things that you've explained well, the opening up of the arteries. But how does it last all day long? The Super Beats, the nitric oxide that we get in the Super Beats, comes into our body. We know, we acknowledge getting that jolt, sort of, non-caffeinated. There's nothing there but just nitric oxide coming out of the beets, the powdered beets. So, you know, if you think back to when you were in your 20s, like Kara, your body was, you had the ability to have good, healthy circulation, you could maintain it. But by the time you get into your 40s, the ability to do that decreases in half. And that leaves you feeling tired much of the day. So what do you do to increase your natural circulation? Listen to Ken explain how Super Beats works.
Well, there's three gases in the body, Doug. There's oxygen, carbon dioxide, and there's also nitric oxide. Most of us know about the first two, but we also need to know about the third. And the third one, we don't breathe in, we don't breathe out. Our body makes it, this gas. And the body needs to continuously make the gas. And if you don't have enough of it, your whole body won't function properly. It's a signaling molecule. It tells the body how to work properly. And more importantly, it also tells the blood vessels to relax, open up, let the red blood cells in so the oxygen can be carried from head to toe. oxygen, if it's not present, you don't have energy, that all of the tissues of your body won't function properly. So this is so important, fundamental for the body to work well, for you to feel well. This is based on Nobel Prize winning research discovered in 1988, awarded the Nobel Prize in 1998. And there's two products I want to tell you about, how to keep up your nitric oxide.
A super body, super energy, super free of anything bad. It's all good. 800-655-4183 for Superbeats. Is negative content on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, negative articles? Happens a lot. It's not fair, not right. You know what you can do? You go to ReputationDefender.com. Help you protect your good name. Free consultation at ReputationDefender.com or by calling 855-432-4886. Call right now. Get a free expert reputation analysis. Easy to kill the unfair attacks with their system. Analysis is free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Get rid of the bad stuff and focus on the good stuff so your reputation, your business, your home will be on the right footing. Call now, 855-432-4881, or talk to an analyst at ReputationDefender.com/Doug. Examining now some of the medical news from the week, some of the research documents that have been printed, things that you need to know about studies. There are a lot of these done all the time, including one that focuses this week on energy drinks, can and alcohol, that sort of thing. What did you find out in your review?
Exactly. These energy drinks are popular, but they have some unintended consequences. And this comes out of the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs. Believe it or not, there really is a journal called that. And what we learned this week, Doug, is that combining energy drinks and alcohol can actually increase a person's risk of injury from falls and other accidents. How this probably occurs is, and you think about it, it makes sense. The stimulant effects of caffeine mask the result that most people get when they drink. Usually, when you're drinking alcohol, you get tired, you go home. Well, energy drinks mask that, so people may underestimate how intoxicated they are, end up staying out later, consume more alcohol, and engage in risky behavior and more hazardous drinking practices. So my advice is, you know, if you want to take some alcohol responsibly, okay, but just don't combine it with those energy drinks. And if you're going to take an energy drink, which I'm not a huge fan of, but if you need it for an emergency or something, just stay away from the alcohol.
Yeah, I think you stay away from these things, period, because they are the antithesis of what we talk about with Super Beats.
They are not healthy. If you're doing them for your health, you're not.
Not. All right, could fading senses of smell mean some? This is a wowzer as far as I can see, this study.
Exactly. This may be the canary in the coal mine, Doug. This comes out of the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. Loss of smell, even in your 40s and 50s, is linked to an earlier death. And dementia is not the culprit. In middle age and beyond, people with a poor sense of smell, Doug, they have about a 20% increased risk of dying within 10 years. The sense of smell seems to be a good indicator of aging brain health. And again, it seems that smell function appears to be that canary in the coal mine.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a hard concept to wrap yourself around, though, isn't it? When you get right down to brass tacks, that kind of thing is.
Well, and interestingly, they also point out in this study is that people who are losing their smell don't socialize well, which
really
makes some sense.
Yeah. Super Beats presents this hour with Dr. Ken, and you can get the free 30-day supply along with your 3-month first order. Don't forget, 800-655-4183 is your connection line to them, 800-655-4183. It makes nothing but sense to be on that program. Let's go back a little bit, backtracking to the discussion about this, not just the stem cell trial and stem cell research, something that will be amazingly positive and helpful to us, I think, as we go down the pike, but there's still a lot of experiments going on. I was talking to a doctor. I actually had my annual eye exam a week or so ago, Ken, and I have pretty much the same thing going on. As somebody who's getting older, there's a little bit of cloudiness developing in my eyes, and so that has caused me to have to wear glasses. I don't like the wear of the glasses, so the suggestion was made that I go see a specialist, and I did. And he, I don't think I told you this off the air. I don't think I've talked about it at all on the air. Kara, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I have. So in essence, what he told me to do, or what was necessary, if I want to eliminate the glasses and have my lenses clear for the rest of my life, there's something that they do that basically removes the cornea and the cloudiness, and they put in a new lens into your eyes, into your eyeballs, that will allow you to see distance and up close. And it's a fairly new procedure, and I wonder always whether to get involved in new procedures till they're tested.
And what should your immediate reaction be when you get a recommendation like that?
I get a second opinion?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Exactly.
I'm going to go to visit another guy next
exactly.
week.
Exactly. And that's, I think, that was why I wanted to bring back what Doug, you asked me about this stem cell procedure that was given to these patients who have macular degeneration.
Right.
And I just want to point out that after these procedures were done at an independent clinic, they were then seen later at the University of Miami, and it's the University of Miami ophthalmologist, and that's an outstanding center for ophthalmology, then reported these cases in the New England Journal of Medicine this week. And the key from a study like this is that if you're getting treatment that is not conventional treatment, you need to make sure that you're very careful about who's giving it to you, where the center is that's giving it to you, and who's supervising this, so that you don't end up like these unfortunate patients who lost their vision from this treatment. And had these patients looked into more into the clinic that was offering the treatment and then tried to figure out who was supervising these procedures and who gave the authority to allow these doctors to do these cutting edge procedures and what kind of track record they had doing this, I think this could have been avoided. And I just think that when doctors do things that are not conventional, they're not approved, we need to push knowledge ahead, but it needs to be done in well-supervised research protocols. And Doug, this, I think, is where there's a role for the FDA to be the umpire, the supervisor, to make sure that it's done as reputably as possible. And but again, even with all these safeguards, there are still going to be unintended consequences. And when you're involved in research, you have to realize that sometimes you can have some unexpected consequences of whatever you're in. And that's why people who participate in research, this should be in these kinds of studies where there's potential for serious adverse effects. And you need to make sure you ask all the questions and have it well explained and well understood what the potential consequences are, that hopefully this is a last resort. And also you've asked some other physicians outside of the study their opinions about whether this new procedure is worth the risk of having it done.
There's a potentially deadly fungus floating around. This gets to those people who wonder about going to the hospital. Is it the unsafe is a word, but unsafest when you get down to brass tacks. There is this candida thing.
Candida.
Candida, is that how you pronounce it? It's a yeast infection.
Exactly.
Fungal infection. So what's going on? When you send people to the hospital to have their heart or whatever checked out, you send them there with confidence, thinking they're not going to be worse off when they come out than they were when they went in. But sometimes when you've got stuff like what I thought at first this was about MRSA, which is another one of these sort of fungal things. Once it gets into your bloodstream, woo, serious illness and then some. But this is something new, apparently, Ken.
Well, hospitalized patients and fungal infections is a concern. And you need to know the hospital, not only the doctor, but you need to know the hospital that you're going into and how aggressive they are at surveilling for these issues. And the good hospitals have strong, active committees, Doug, that are constantly looking at the hospital and how they can prevent hospital-acquired infections. And there's a number of things that you can pick up if the hospital is not doing a good job in the hospital. And you know, this is just one of them. And you just, you know, make sure anyone, general things, you know, just to prevent all this, you know, just make sure that you keep your own hands clean. Make sure that anyone who touches you washes their hands. And just make sure that you speak up if you have any concerns about this and let the people in the hospital describe to you what they're doing to limit infections. It's best to find out this before you go in the hospital.
Yeah. I think it's pretty depressing when you think about it, the darkness that could prevail in hospitals.
See, one of the problems is when you go in the hospital, your immune system is so weakened.
Yeah.
And then in the hospital, it is a cookbook for all these bugs. Yeah. And you're just bringing the person who is susceptible to the source of all these things. So you have to be careful, and you have to make sure that the people who work there are careful, because that's where much of it gets spread, from the hospital employees. And if they are very vigilant about gowning, gloving, washing, especially washing those hands, you know, this all can be prevented.
Yeah. There's a new approval from the new FDA, or is it? Is under the new administration the FDA different yet, or does it take a while to change the culture? Before we talk about this specific approval, what about the culture at the FDA? What do you think is going on? Is it different yet, or will it be different?
Yeah, there's new leadership, and there definitely is a new tone there, and they've already released a new drug pretty quickly. The FDA approved a new drug for Parkinson's disease. Symptoms of Parkinson's disease, Doug, it's a movement disorder, worsens over time. About 50,000 Americans are diagnosed with it each year, and about 1 million have the neurologic disorder. Most patients are over age 60. Zydago, also called sulfinamide, the scientific name.
Glad to hear that.
These are pills.
It makes it so much easier to understand. Instead of Zydago, it's sulfinamide. Yes, that makes sense.
Well, you know,
sense.
Every drug has a brand and a scientific name. So, you know, don't ask me how they came up with these names, but that's what they're using. It was approved as an add-on treatment for people taking the usual drugs we prescribe for Parkinson's, levodopa, carbidopa, and they're experiencing what doctors call off episodes. These are periods when medication's effectiveness wanes, leading to a rise in symptoms such as tremor and difficulty walking. Where do you think Zydago is made?
I haven't the slightest idea. Mexico?
Italy. Neuron Pharmaceuticals.
Really? And but anybody, whether it's foreign or domestic, they still have to get approval here in our country to sell it in this country.
Absolutely.
Do other countries, to turn it around, if we made a drug here and it was to be sold in Italy, do they have a comparable board to the FDA, or do they just take our FDA's approval and say, okay, the Americans say it's okay, you can buy it here in Italy too?
Depends on the country. The Europeans have their own equivalent to the FDA.
Uh-huh. And are they as critical, or are they better and worse? How would you say They are in action terms.
It's unpredictable. There are things that are approved by the FDA in Europe that are for Europe, but not here, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be a little bit quicker than we are in the past, but who knows with the new leadership.
Right. All right. There's a pill that may protect people against some cancers that's being reported. What's that story?
Well, that is the old birth control pill, the
really?
Pill. And this is a report, American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. We all have kids who are thinking about birth control, or have you been on birth control in the past? Here's a study that applies to everybody who's ever thought or been on it. Women who take birth control pills should be reassured by a new study, Doug, that shows that they are not putting themselves at a higher risk of cancer. In fact, the pill may protect women against some cancers. This is a whopping study, followed over 46,000 women for up to 44 years. This is when the pill was first being used and approved by the FDA in America. So taking the pill led to a 19% lower risk of colorectal cancer, a 34% lower risk of uterine cancer, a 33% lower risk of ovarian cancer. Also, these protective effects, Doug, were shown to last for at least 30 years after taking the pill. The study found current and recent users of the pill had a 4% increased risk of breast and cervical cancers, mm-hmm. but that appeared to be lost within approximately 5 years of stopping oral contraception and did not go back up over time. Using the pill during reproductive years does not produce new cancer risks for women later in life when cancers become more common in the population as a whole. So a little reassuring information.
Yeah. Dr. Ken, brought to you by the folks that bring you Superbeats, the secret to helping support healthy circulation. Ken is a cardiologist. He knows how important it is to have healthy blood pressure levels, and that's why he recommends that you take Superbeats. Works three times faster to give you the results you can feel. It's great tasting. And if you order now at 800-655-4183, you'll get a 30-day supply free. So 4 months for the price of three, plus the book Beat the Odds. That's at 800-655-4183 to keep your blood pressure where it needs to be.